You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just got done watching Season 5, Episode 5, entitled Kill the Boy. What'd you think of this episode?
Ollie lived, so I'm kind of disappointed.
You want Ollie to die?
No, I'm
good
just saying.
Good Lord, man.
You got a title, Kill the Boy. It sets up certain okay. expectations. And
I think they're talking about a different boy.
Oh, the metaphorical boy?
Yes.
Okay, well,
yes.
That wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
What the hell? Right. What the hell's going on in this episode?
I don't know, man. I'm a little worried. Like, I'm kind of getting bored with this season.
Uh-oh.
A little bit. Like, I know last season was bananas, but I kind of want that in my Game of Thrones now, and they're not delivering.
Mm.
It's just like I finally felt like nothing was moving here.
Yeah.
Like, things are moving, but they're moving really slowly now.
You know, Dany fed a guy to a dragon. Jorah's
yeah,
got grayscale.
All of this is like her being wishy-washy on this,
Brienne,
this slave thing.
Brienne
right?
reached out to Sansa.
Okay.
More
well,
North remembering.
Well, she talked about maybe reaching out to Sansa, like wanting to reach out to Sansa.
Well, that was the candle business, candle in the wind.
Okay. All right.
At least that's what my theory is.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just not. It's not as action-packed as last season.
Mm-hmm.
By this time last season, there was a king dead already.
Well, sure.
This season, we've got Barristan who's dead, and I'm
sure.
not that invested in Barristan at all.
Sure.
I guess Jorah has grayscale, so that's kind of interesting. And now he and Tyrion are stuck on some island near Valyria. That's
I thought it was cool seeing Valyria. I thought it was cool going through the old doom of Valyria.
It was cool. Yeah. Yeah. I like seeing the dragon fly overhead. I think that's Drogon. It looks like Drogon.
Unless there's a fourth dragon in the world.
Which
I'm not
is.
Saying one way
yeah.
or another. It could be a very mildly interesting thing that there's fourth dragon in the world. But
especially hanging around this destroyed city, right?
My iron coin is on it being Drogon, sure.
Yeah, it looks like him.
Sure.
And I don't know. So Valyria was destroyed by dragons? Or they're talking about plumes of fire that shoot up and kill dragons, and like
it seems
like it was destroyed internally somehow.
I
maybe?
Think it's a Pompeii type situation.
Oh,
like
okay.
a cataclysmic geophysical event. I'm not hugely steeped in the lore. I just coincidentally, in doing some research, read through some of this stuff. But my feeling is it's kind of a Pompeii situation, and with a little touch of the dwarves dwelled too greedily and too deep, like maybe
they knew too much.
The Valyrians forged too much of the damn steel, or they
yeah.
put their swung leg over one too many dragons, and like, but that could also be, you know, superstition, like, you know, something bad happened to these people. It must have been the gods, or
oh,
it must
sure.
have been something they did to bring it on.
Yeah,
it could just
reasonable.
Be magma. Seeping up from Planetos's mantle core. Who knows?
Sure. But they know nothing of that kind of
no,
stuff. So
no.
They would guess the gods.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
House of the Dragon Season 2 is coming up sooner than you think. And to get us all back in that Leal state of mind, Aaron and I have teamed up with Maester Anthony to bring you coordinated coverage, new and old. For the next 10 weeks leading up to Season 2, Maester Anthony will be releasing an episode of his Season 1 coverage on the Hot D podcast. He originally recorded and released it exclusively on his Double Dragon podcast, so while it's retro coverage, it's almost certainly new to you.
In addition, each Friday, Jim and I will be reading the relevant sections of George Martin's Targaryen history book, Fire and Blood, so that we can compare and contrast it to that week's episode of Hot D Season 1. So grab a copy of Fire and Blood and read along with us if you're so inclined. Just don't read ahead unless you enjoy spoilers.
If that's not enough to satisfy your craving for fantasy entertainment, well, you're in luck. We recently watched King Arthur Legend of the Sword, which is Guy Ritchie's uniquely stylish and anachronistic riff on the King Arthur legend. Yes, Guy Ritchie took on the most famous of all English legends and did it with huge ambitions. Sadly, or perhaps thankfully, depending on your tastes, his ambitions were cut short by meager audience interest. Join us for the podcast this Tuesday as we discuss why that might have been and whether this retelling is any good.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
I don't know. I guess some there's a lot of building here. We're building toward some epic confrontation between Roose and Stannis, which I think is going to be awesome.
And
don't get me wrong, when we get there, I'm going to fucking love it, but we got to get there.
I'm really liking what they're doing to Stannis this season. Like him casually correcting under his breath the Black
what
Brothers
is he?
Grammar.
Is he becoming comedy relief now? Stannis Baratheon?
I think that's a fine note to play, but okay. I got a good chuckle out of it.
All right. It seemed a little out of character.
I mean, I'm trying to think of a character who is this detached for it'd be kind of like Sonya from The Bridge if she became some kind of queen. That's okay. How she would rule the kingdom. She's she's just not quite firing on all empathetic cylinders. But no, I really enjoy that. What did you think about the dark side of the Stannis Shireen speech that Roose gave to Ramsay about taking his mother underneath the tree that
That's pretty
his
dark.
Stepdad is swinging under.
And then he, turns that around and says, "We're gonna take this together." It's a weird sort of pep talk.
If wars are won,
I don't
and
know
fought,
why that works for Ramsay.
If wars are won and fought over father children bonding scenes, then I think Stannis is gonna win this one walking away. Judging with my history of the Song of Ice and Fire, I don't think it's going to come down to who's the better parent.
No, certainly
but
not.
But it is...
I think the most interesting part of that is that Roose is prepared or preparing.
Sure.
He knows that Stannis is coming down. We have a good idea that he's going to do something to prepare them for that. And whether or not Stannis realizes that, I'm not sure.
How do you think that him having another male heir possibly fits in with that be prepared? Is like in case of crazy son, break Fat Walda. I mean, like crack her open and get another heir out of, because he doesn't seem to be entire. I mean, he's wallpapering over at the dinner table because what's he going to do?
Yeah.
But he's clearly unhappy with the fact that Ramsay is not getting through his thick skull. That you got to have a velvet covered steel fist or whatever. I'm not sure what the phrase is.
Yeah, maybe he'll be more likely to throw Ramsay in harm's way. I mean, if they're going to take this together, I assume that doesn't mean, hey, I need somebody to plan with. Mm-hmm. That probably means like I need somebody to command the troops and go on some missions, do some active battle duty here.
So, okay, is there anything else we want to talk about up north? I thought it was cool that Brienne's got something posted up inside of Winterfell. Winterfell looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since we've seen it kind of in majesty.
Mm-hmm. And I like how Sansa stands outside of the tower where Bran fell from.
Right. And now she's cool. Clearly, I think, empowered a little bit knowing that she has this ally. Obviously, this is not Littlefinger's doing.
Yeah.
I wonder if there is anything that Littlefinger has in mind, because... this situation Ramsay with what's her name? Myrtle. It's not Myrtle. Minerva. Monroe.
Miranda.
Miranda.
Yeah.
It's not a good situation.
No, she's super jealous, and I don't think a window fuck session is going to help that.
No, I did not
a bite on the lip, and yeah.
No, that look on her face was not. I'm in good with you now. It's I'm going to plot on how I can fuck you over.
And then she goes and does it. She shows Theon to Sansa.
That didn't really have any kind of real lasting effect. It didn't seem.
Sansa is not happy about it, obviously, and she doesn't know that he didn't actually kill her brothers.
Yeah.
So, I think. I don't know.
Say that
it
again.
Gets under
she
her
didn't
skin.
What now? What?
She doesn't know that Theon didn't actually kill her brothers.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So it's definitely getting under her skin, making her angry and potentially she's going to lash out at some point. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, I guess Littlefinger, if he has taught her well, she won't lash out in anger. She'll plot and figure out a way to get back at him.
The other thing is that this is kind of, if I'm Sansa, I'm like, Jesus Christ, this again? Because this is kind of, it turned out to be a direwolf biting the king's hand situation, because now Ramsay suddenly feels comfortable showing her his ass.
Okay.
You know, it's like, I'm going to make this guy give you away as your last living relative. And he's being casually cruel to her, which I think there's a lot
of reminiscent of Joffrey.
Yeah. There was a lot of people kind of thinking, well, maybe Ramsay will just truly be enraptured with this idea of this highborn lady. And it doesn't seem that to be that way at all. So What are the odds that we're going to see a candle lit at a tall tower? Why does it have to be the tallest? See, that's the thing about, damn it, Brienne. Why does it have to be the tallest window of the broken tower? Why can't it be the second unremarkable window of the most traveled tower in the castle? Like,
it's so they can be sure to see it.
I get it, like, but also it's maximum danger to Sansa.
Yes.
What the hell is that candle doing in the abandoned broken tower? Who's
up there?
Why is that hooded red-haired lady going to and fro all the time? I mean, damn. I get that super romantic. It's almost like, you know,
are Jamie and Cersei up there? What's happening?
It's the ghost of Lannister twins fucking is what it is. It's, people say it's the ghost of ghost of Bran's legs.
Yep, you flopping go up there, about it's up just there. A bunch of stone men.
FX is adapting James Clavell's best-selling novel Shogun into a 10-part miniseries this spring. Set in the shogunate period of Japan at the turn of the 15th century, Shogun depicts the rise of a feudal lord to shogun, as seen through the eyes of a shipwrecked English sailor. It's loosely based on the real-life exploits of William Adams and Tokugawa Ieyasu.
Shogun has already been successfully adapted back in 1980 with a widely acclaimed miniseries starring Richard Chamberlain, featuring intricate plots, political scheming, complex characters, and thrilling action. This time, husband and wife team Justin Marks and Rachel Kondo try to recapture the successes of the novel and early adaptations while increasing the levels of historical and cultural accuracy that are often perceived as flaws of this and similar works.
Starring Hiroyuki Sanada from The Last Samurai, Mortal Kombat, and John Wick 4, with Cosmo Jarvis of Peaky Blinders, Raised by Wolves, etc., joining the truly massive cast required to bring this complex world to life. Join Aaron and I each week as we deep dive into each episode, uncovering the mysteries, the intrigue, and the glory of Shogun.
Shogun premieres on FX Hulu Tuesday, February 27th, with a two-part debut. Our podcast will release each Thursday thereafter. Get our Shogun coverage by searching for Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app. We're about 10 weeks out from House of the Dragon Season 2, and it's time to prepare for war.
Which in our case means, well, watching a lot of Hot D and reading a lot of Fire and Blood.
Each week between now and June 16th, Maester Anthony and his co-host Steve are hosting a watch of each episode of Hot D Season 1. And then me and Jim are going to host a discussion of the differences between the events on that episode and how they're recounted in George R.R. Martin's historical tome, Fire and Blood.
That's right, I've resorted to reading dragon books. God help us all. We'll see if my fresh eyes add any new insights or predictions into Season 2.
Arm yourselves with all the lore you can for the battles ahead. House of the Dragon returns June 16th, but we've got you covered until then.
Check out all of our upcoming Hot D coverage on the Hot D feed or on Bald Move Pulp, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
So what do you think of the is all of the grayscale talk worth what we got out of the Stone Men? Because I kind of called that 2 weeks ago. I thought that they were building this up just so they could throw this in as a end of an episode action scene cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, this is what we get.
Is that all we're going to get?
I don't know. I mean,
obviously there's going to be
more. I'm commenting on what we've seen.
Okay. So that's my answer. Like, if that's all we get, and I don't think it's going to be, because Jorah obviously has grayscale now, so he's going to have to turn into a stone man at some point, unless Stannis rides in with the cure. But I don't think that's all it's going to be. You know, I mean, if it sets up, like, if we get all this talk of Grayscale and how dangerous it is mm-hmm. and how it turns you into a monster, and then Jor gets it, mm-hmm. I think that's worthwhile for all that setup. Because, you know, most people care about Jorah. I'm not super invested in Jorah.
Uh-huh.
Don't really care that much. But a lot of people are.
Uh-huh.
If Tyrion were to get it, oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, how do you know he doesn't? Because that's the...
I don't know that he doesn't have it yet.
I thought it was kind of interesting how they portrayed this, because... we know Tyrion got touched.
Yeah,
and he lied. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Jorah says, I didn't get touched either. And we know he's got Grayscale. So, yeah. Like, I think it's interesting that you are, mildly interesting even, that you are not worried at all about Tyrion. Because it seems like they are definitely leaving.
It's not that I'm not worried at all.
Yeah.
It's just that it hasn't been shown to me, so I'm not going to worry about it until I have to. Because Tyrion's my favorite character.
Okay.
By far. And I think, you know...
Tyrion dies at the end of the season. Are you done with the show?
No, I'm not done, but there's a piece of the show missing for me. Sure.
You flip tables, you riot?
No.
No?
No. I don't know. I mean, Tyrion has... You know, depending on how he goes out, if they give him a good arc, I'm okay with it. It's just... It would be sad to see him go.
Sure. I'm trying to think of what else we need to talk about.
Dany. Yeah.
What do you think about Dany? She's feeding guys to dragons. She's opening up pits. She's offering marriage alliances to dudes in prison. It's not great.
She should have just asked Missandei what to do in the first
place. Right. Missandei's like, oh, well, you'll...
Four episodes ago.
You'll come up with something brilliant none of us could have seen. I'm like, that's exactly what happened, but I don't know that it's good.
Yeah. She's gonna marry Hizdahr? Really? I'm all for opening the fighting pits back up.
Oh yeah?
I've said that for episodes now. Mm-hmm. Open those fucking fighting pits, let him go at it.
Yeah.
Send Daario in there. let him kick some ass for a while. Do that, but marrying Hizdahr? Mm. I'm a little worried that the ex-slaves are going to see that as a negative thing. Like, oh, our royalty again? Great.
Right.
That's exactly where we were before you got here.
The richest, handsomest master is going to be your king.
Yeah. It's like, marry one of the former slaves. Marry their family. Promote their families to royalty. Start evening out the classes in this society. Maybe that will have more of an effect than what you're doing here.
That's not a bad read on it, too. I just think that it's also... such a little, you know, she has pretensions to sit the Iron Throne, and she's throwing her hand of marriage away on this minor, you know, this essentially minor, you know, rich nobleman from a country that she ultimately doesn't care about. Like, I get that Targaryens, you know, historically have had kind of loose marriage alliances, and maybe she could end up taking multiple husbands, but damn. That is some, you know, this is Joan and this is the equivalent of Joan fucking Herb the Jaguar guy on Mad Men. Like, really? Okay. Really? That's what? Oh, OK. All right. Well, it's your choice, your body.
But, sure. I don't know. I don't like it either.
Yeah.
I don't like Hizdahr and her together. I don't know what her big plan is here. Mm-hmm. If her plan is to open the fighting pits and just reestablish the classist society they had before, that seems crazy.
That's the other thing.
I can't imagine that's going to be the case.
As a former ace troubleshooter, it's also grinding my teeth that she is, okay, like, open up the fighting pits and see what happens. And if that doesn't work, then do the marriage alliance. Like,
change one variable at a time, see how it affects the outcome.
Don't fucking open the control panel and just start chicking and unchecking and clicking. And
sure.
Like, if I had her on my phone, I'm like, okay, uncheck the box. And I hear it click, click, click. What the fuck did you just do?
Oh, I married a guy.
Oh, God damn it. Now you're going to have to reboot your dragons. Yep. It's all over. You got Grayscale.
you got full-blown
Grayscale. This is not going
to
work.
I'm sure you're happy to see the Grey Worm is still alive, though.
Yeah.
You called it. I mean, I don't know
if I called it. I just said I was surprised that either of them were dead. I would have been just like jaw drop shock if both of them had died. Okay. I am not digging this thing with him, and they need to explain what the fuck this is. Exactly. They need to start using their words and talking about how they feel of each other and what they expect, because I can't be invested in a dude that looks like an anatomical Ken doll shacking up with a girl who I know nothing about her history or her motivations beyond wanting to serve the Mother of Dragons and being grateful for Dany. Like, that's both of them. That is, they are the merest sketch of a character. They're generically good-looking people that are sworn in service of this woman who saved them.
And they've seen each other nude.
And they've seen each other naked.
That's about it.
And I think, you know, Grey Worm enjoyed it more than Missandei because there's probably more to see.
It was less creepy.
It was,
On his side.
Yeah.
Her side, whatever.
But nah, I'm not invested in this whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I need a moment. I need them to have a moment that I actually believe before, you know. And again, like, it doesn't have to be a romance thing. It can be some other... it could be some other thing, but I don't have words to put on what the relationship is, and I don't think they do either.
It almost feels like Missandei is a woman, like, so beautiful and captivating that Grey Worm is, like, basically resurrected from the dead, from now, the sexual dead.
I buy that,
dead.
Because I've seen, like, when my son was, like, 5, and I think that's too young to, like, feel, like, urges.
Yeah.
But, like, when a truly beautiful woman would walk into the room... It would just, you could see him just like, you know, and I would buy it as that. Like, you are very beautiful and you're very kind and I love you like a little boy loves his first grade teacher, you know, or something like that. Like, I buy that. I buy all kinds of, I buy some kind of complex romance or non-romance or asexual romance.
You just want it defined.
Yes. I want to know why I should care. Because I don't, like, that old dude that Brienne propositioned about Sansa, he could have a torrid relationship with the stable shoveler's daughter. I don't know, and I don't care, because I don't know anything about him other than he's wearing a black hat and she's shoveling horse shit.
Yeah.
I need to know a little bit more before I can start saying, like, okay, I care one way or another about it.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you.
That's driving me crazy.
Yeah, not super enthralled with that storyline.
Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, if very special isn't your speed, we've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why is Mr. Feeny a Car each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd.
Since the dawn of time, we've been putting clothes on our back that identify us with our people, our group, our tribe.
And while Bald Move might be one of the smallest, weirdest tribes out there, transcending all concepts of border, class, culture, and creed, we still have respect for the old ways.
At support.baldmove.com, you can get t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more. We have something for every one of our podcasts, or just wear the four pips of the Bald Move logo with pride.
Bald Move merch beats running around naked, and they make a great gift for the Bald Move fan in your life. Join our tribe! Head over to support.baldmove.com and click on merch to start shopping.
I don't know. I mean, that's about it. There's the wall up in the north. John's headed north. Stannis is going south.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think of that plan of essentially the wildlings taking him as a hostage? And there is a little bit of division amongst the ranks.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's continuing to pay off that they've made Ollie his steward because he can see firsthand and see, like, how much it sucks to try to lead people. You know, it's easy to lead people when it's clear good and evil and there's a, you know, like, we have to defend this door or we're fucked.
Sure.
And you want to defend the door. I want you to defend the door. I've given you everything you need to defend the door. Now defend the goddamn door. Yeah. It's another to, like, we need to make peace with the enemy that we fought for 8,000 years and who has butchered your family. And I'm kind of surprised, John, I don't know enough about what they're trying to do here to know whether this is evidence of him going against Master Aemon's guidance to kill the boy, because I feel like John has all the hand in this relationship with Tormund. Like, fuck you, I'm not going on your boat. Here's some damn boats. Go and save your people or not. Like, whether I set your damn boat on fire doesn't matter, because guess what? Where you are at right now, you're dead. You're dead, you're worse than dead, you're an ice zombie. So take the ships and go south and Reave, or take the ships and go fuck yourself with them, or set them on, I don't care, but like, if you show up with a bunch of wildlings, we can talk. If not, I'm not going with you.
Are you sure that he has all the hand with Stannis leaving? Stannis is taking his army and piecing out.
He's on a 700 foot wall,
which he barely held last time against a few of the wildlings dudes. You send 100,000 men at that wall, there's no way they stand.
They're not 100,000 men. It's, I mean, I see what you're saying.
Stannis is the only thing that saved that situation. Jon was up there to say, we're dead unless I make peace.
I get that. I get
or
that.
Or kill Mance.
I get that. I'm just saying that, like, without Mance, I don't know that the, you know, I that's a good point, too. I'm just saying that he's effectively the wildling's hostage. And
now
seems like a foolish thing to do. And he could have played that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, let Tormund chew on the fact that your people are going to die. And I don't want that to happen, because I don't want to face 100,000 of y'all ice zombies.
Yeah.
But why? I mean, and I guess Ollie's saying it's a trick, right? Must sell it, because I guess, but I don't know.
Yeah, because Ollie's just so angry. I mean,
yeah. But I mean, John doesn't have any support at all at the wall, and it's going to be,
doesn't seem like it. No,
it's going to be, even, you know, Ed, Dolores Ed, who's his like staunchest ally, said, look, I'll follow you anywhere except for here.
Yeah.
He meatloafed
the guys
him.
Who killed off.
He meatloafed him.
I won't do that.
I can. Yeah. Hose out of holy water. Sure. Whatever. But let the wildlings through the gate. No, can't do that.
All right. I think that's a good note to end on. We'll play meatloaf to go out.
Okay. Yeah. All right, that sounds good. If you've got a take, and I'm sure you do, send it to gameofthrones@baldmove.com. You can also talk spoilers on our forums at forums.baldmove.com. We got a spoiler and a non-spoiler thread, one of each flavor, chocolate and vanilla. Just don't make it Neapolitan. Don't mix. Stay on your sides of the wall. You ne'er-do-wells. At forums.baldmove.com, you know, you can follow our releases on baldmove.com, Facebook, .com/baldmove and Twitter @baldmove.
Yeah, all
I'm excited to see what people have to say, because you're right. This is, I think, things for the book. I you know, speaking as the book readers, things are starting to come a little bit closer into focus.
Okay,
but it is feeling like we've had many episodes of construction that I think there is a little bit of restless undercurrent of people wanting to see something happen.
Yeah, this is the first time I really noticed it, and really started to feel antsy with the plot. But, you know, I think Stannis is going to get south, and all will be well again.
Yeah. I mean, especially, here again, I think this is about where Dan and Alan Sepinwall and Feinberg, respectively, are going to start the whole, why do we have to go to all the locations in every episode? Because that starts to feel like what's happened with Sans and the Boltons has really not moved. We've gotten one new additional piece of information. Well, maybe two. Mm-hmm. That, like, Theon's there and Ramsay's being a dick, and that Brienne. But that's been dribbled out over the course of three episodes.
Yeah.
If they just did, like, okay, here's where we're going to talk about what happens at Winterfell, and maybe we'll spice it up with a little talk with, you know, Brienne, and maybe we'll throw Jon and Stannis. They could move. It would feel like we're moving quicker, you know?
Yeah, maybe, until you get an episode like this one where you miss out on a couple plot lines like Cersei and Marjorie.
That's true.
I feel like, you know, I missed them going into this episode.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's tough. It's not easy.
It is, because I know that's one thing we complained about on Walking Dead when they get it too extreme. But I don't know. Sometimes you got so much stuff going on, it's like the difference between stuck in a traffic jam. It might take you the exact amount of time to go 3 miles, whereas if you can hit the off-ramp, you're still going to get home in 30 minutes, but at least you're moving the whole time.
Okay.
And it feels like you're at least doing
better.
You're not just sitting there blaring your horn. A little bit of sitting there blaring your horn, I feel like.
All right. Yeah, I agree with you. That's it. We'll be back on Tuesday with the full cast.
And on Friday with the big spoiler section.
Indeed. Until then, I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron. See ya.